a couple. There's a few just general rules that if you follow, it'll help you a lot. One is don't try to talk over loud noise, which loud noise is like if you're on the street, if there's construction, if you're in a bar or a restaurant with friends, mm-hmm. at a party, at a place where there's loud music. Obviously, these are all. If you're a social person, you're always going to be in loud. You're often going to be in loud places, one way or another. Even driving in a car. The thing you want, if you become a professional voice user, you want to just really watch out for that. And don't try to compete with the noise. Try to sort of either, if you're like at a cocktail party or a party and everybody's loud, try to make sure they can read your lips. Try and talk over it a little bit or through it, but don't try and beat it, because then you're going to get really tense and tight here. It's really important to remember. Many, many times you're in a situation where you have no control over that. See, there's some little bit of control you can put on it by either making sure you breathe before you talk, just keep breathing, because every time you breathe, you release and relax. Mm-hmm. Or try and get whoever you're talking to move to the side, to go else. Or if you're on a subway platform, you're having a conversation with people, just say, just wait. And then when you get in the car, subway car, then you can, you know.
Yeah.
Or when the train's going by. This is just, like, really important. Young people who are singers tend to be really gregarious. So they tend to also, you know, be out late, talking, sometimes drinking. I don't know if you drink or not. Not much. Okay. That's kind of nice, because alcohol, I mean, I'm not opposed to it or anything, but basically as a singer, I stay away from it, too, because you don't want to, like, lose your fine motor coordination and stuff like that, and it's very drying. But another couple things to remember. The breathing. If you use your voice a lot, like when you're at your, is your camp over now?
Yeah.
So you had a chance to kind of... in terms of taking jobs, next time you take a job, you might want to think about that really carefully. And either get yourself, if you have to use your voice a lot, find a situation where you're going to get a microphone. I know you can't have a microphone if you're talking to your campers, probably, but it's the constant wear and tear of the voice all day long that if you have to then do shows, it's just lots of wear and tear. You're so young that you probably recover very quickly, like one night or two nights of rest, and you probably don't feel hoarse. I don't know if you experienced that.
I kind of feel like it takes me longer than most people my age to recover, but that might just be because, like, when I go on vocal rest, I'm not literally not speaking the whole day.
You are literally not
speaking? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, literally not speaking all day, so.
Okay. The other thing is, that's just, we're talking about sort of getting over hard circumstances or acute circumstances where you've gotten hoarse, either through singing, doing a show, teaching, being a counselor, whatever. But before that, to try to avoid having that happen, one thing you want to do is try this right now. Just kind of, we've done this a little bit. Let your jaw drop a little, and kind of, you can even drop your mouth open just a tiny bit, and just push in there side to side, and then chew and breathe. And then just let it go. That's just to get in touch with how much these muscles can be held and tight, and how you can release them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay if I feel those?
Yes.
Okay. So, right. So on all of the, all my students are young, I can't even have, and this muscle right in here, this one, whatever it is, just get kind of tight. And so you want to just talk to them, try to get them not so tight, and get here too. I'm just going to say a whole bunch of things that all impinge upon your voice.
Mm-hmm.
When we're at our computers and stuff like that, we tend to spend our life more and more and more and more like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to throw off the easy balancing of the spine. So every now and again when you're like on your computer, I don't know if you do a lot of computer work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably most people, most of us do. You can go like this and just kind of go straight back and then just let it go. Kind of give you a double neck, but a double chin. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let your arms go to your sides.
Yeah.
Good. And try one more of those. Just kind of back and then let go. Now, don't do it if it hurts. Have your head whiplash or anything.
Oh,
that's what I asked you. counselors. That's always good to know as a teacher. But anyway, what that does is it sort of like helps remind these guys to get just a little activated. What really happens is when we go like that, these guys are kind of like pulling, and these guys are getting kind of tight, and it's off balance, right? It's too much of one thing. So definitely you should stop a lot and just kind of look, try that, just side to side. And as you're doing that, let your jaw go, and then take a breath. Now, the chewing. I gave you chewing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chewing and speaking is super helpful. It seems so easy. You don't even have to pay a doctor to give you a prescription. You just chew and talk. Now, when you're chewing, a lot of the internal laryngeal muscles, as well as these externals, can't really hold. So I want you to chew and count down from 10 for me.
10, 9,
take a breath.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That's good. Good. So with the chewing, you want to be as easy as you can be. You want to get your dentist solid, sort of floppy and loose, and it's a lazy kind of chew, but there's slow to it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Try that. I'm not deliberately trying to sound so nutty, but
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Good. Take a breath and do that again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Great. Now, to do this, you don't have to make it in the nose. 1, 2, 3. How do you get it out of your nose? What do you do specifically internally in your mouth so it won't go in here?
Raise my thought
palette. Yes, exactly. Yes. Cool. Exactly. So, for a moment, just sort of pretend you're smelling a rose. And that helps you kind of feel the muscles that can make you feel like your talons are. Okay. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Beautiful. So, try again. Chew a little more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Good. Get your head and neck free. And so the air goes in here, but this is just going to be kind of moving around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Good. That's all right. Yeah, okay. And now you're fine. Now you've given it the message. I just want you to make sure you get the message of it. Nothing is going to be like this. Also, if you're focusing on studying or whatever, it can be easy to kind of hold a little bit. And everybody holds in different ways. But so talk to those places, get them kind of released, and then go back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes. And again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes. So most of us don't walk around talking and chewing at the same time. And in my family, we were told that was really wrong. At dinner, you know, we can't talk and chew. But really helpful for you. Change the pitch. I think we talked about this some at the beginning,
yeah.
Right when I gave you this. So get a little sheet or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
The Angry Bear. Did you get the Angry Bear?
Not the Angry Bear.
Oh, you should have the Angry Bear. That's the best. We've got three things that are really, really important. Chewing, which will listen to you. Changing the pitch. Varying your pitch. So you just don't talk in one thing. Okay?
Okay.
Really helpful on the vocal cords. Because if you just sort of talk in a monotone and if you kind of stay in a very small pitch range like that, the vocal cords keep hitting each other in the same spot all the time. The third thing is the breath. And I haven't really observed you talking with friends, stuff like that, so I don't know which thing you need the most to keep in mind to help your speaking. Like breathing, like I just did. before you say something. Instead of this, like, if I want, I really want you to hear this. So I'm going to go on and on, and I'm going to tell you this and this, and I want you to really follow me. And blah, blah. At a certain point, it gets tired, and you can override that. Not you. Right?
Right.
So you just pay attention. Make sure you breathe. Because notice, take a breath in, and notice if you relax and open. Good. Try another one. Yeah. When levels of stress go high, some people, I particularly, I'll get tightened like that, apparently right here, and I won't breathe. And I'll go through, like, I can go through hours where I'm not really released. So if you kind of pretend you're going to go on stage, you'll probably be a good... When you go on stage, your energy has to be so...
Yeah.
The Angry Bear is an exercise where I'm going to have you just read a paragraph out loud and chew while you read it.
Okay.
And it's fun. Start with that paragraph and just don't even chew. Just read me a sentence or two.
All right. Bearing pitch, I assume. Sorry? Varying pitch, I assume?
Yeah, you can vary your pitch a little, yeah.
There is a word of warning I will give all of you.
Good, yeah.
Always remember, a wounded bear is angry with everyone and will maul you or anyone within range. A bleeding wounded bear is a mean animal and will go wild whenever jabbed or bothered in any way.
Great. Stop it. Just for a second. Hold it, stand up just a little more. Yeah, and I just want to double check and make sure that you're not like that, so that you can even go a little higher. Yeah, there. Now go like this for a minute. Go like kind of left and right. And take a second time to get your shoulders up, like this, and let them drop. Good, and then take a second, and what you're going to do is you're going to like give a hug. Now let your shoulders drop. Now you're going to take a huge breath, and it's going to open the back of your ribs. And let it go. And one more of those. Let it go. And then just let your arms drop. Good. Doesn't that feel kind of nice going in there? Okay. Start again.
There is a word of warning I will give all of you. Always remember, a wounded bear is angry with everyone and will maul you or anyone within range. A bleeding wounded bear is a mean animal and will go wild whenever jabbed or bothered in any way. Even a lion will give ground and avoid a wounded or injured grizzly bear.
Great, great. Good. Good start. Just slow your tempo down a little bit for the moment.
Okay.
Go on from where you are and breathe.
One dumb move, and the bear will lunge and grab you, leaving you dead or gravely wounded. In the name of God, beware the injured or angry bear.
Great. Take a breath. Good. Good start. What I like is you're not doing really hard glottal attacks on all the fowls. People often do that. Beware the angry or injured, all the odds. Okay? That's good. I don't hear that hardness. The one thing I do think is that your voice has a strong chest component. We could add a little more head to it.
Okay.
It doesn't mean I want you to talk like me and sound like an officer. I don't need you to go there, but I want you to play with that just to loosen the muscles a little. So go, there you go. That. Now, it'll be tricky for you to get to, because in your usual speaking voice, once again, the chest muscles are stronger, much stronger than the heady muscles. A lot of young people are like that. They just tend to talk that way.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter talks that way, too. And it's young, strong women who are intelligent. And it's people of my generation, I think, we envy you guys because you guys are strong and intelligent and you know it and you're not afraid of it. And it's fabulous. I grew up in a very different time when we had to kind of pretend we were dumb, if you know what I mean, to get a guy interested. Whatever. That's not it. But this sort of talking, right? Like, oh, hello. Like, who in their right mind would really want to do that anymore? But a lot of women used to have that. And I just want you to practice that in your studio alone. Nobody gets to hear you, but keep those muscles loose. And when you get to your singing today, we can do more of that too. Because the more head is going to actually help your belt not tire you out as much.
Right.
I think two things are really going to help your belt not tire you. One is making sure you do practice much more head exercises and make sure that you exercise and stretch the voice out on the legit side. We already talked about that. The other is, I can't remember what I was going to say, but I think it's about your speaking voice, just releasing it just an ounce. Brain just went dead on that. Just a minute. No, it'll come back to me. But one serious element is the legit, heady. Okay, so if I tell you, just to review where we've been before, we've got a, a, e, o, and u for the Italian vowels.
Right.
Okay, which is the headiest vowel? Most head voice. Ah, speak them. Ah, ooh, that's right. Okay. So, just take a look at that for a second. There you go. A little sticky. Basically, in a kind of a way to generalize about it, if you look at that, on the far left is your most chesty vowel, far right is your most heady vowel, and the E vowel in the middle, E tends to kind of integrate the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're singing, if you feel you need a little bit of release, you bring in a little ooh to it, if you can. Okay, you know, you're already pretty strong in the ah end of it, so anyway, back to your speaking in this thing. Now I do want you to chew a lot, beware the angry bear, and vary your pitch. You can do both things. Same paragraph.
There is a word of warning I will give all of you.
Great. Try that again. Now, watch your I and the all. And we're going to do it like an Italian, which would be very legato. Italians don't talk like... And we're saying, you might not do this in real life, but listen to how I say, what's that first line again?
There is a word of warning I will give all of you.
Right. Hear how you put a little grind on I will give all of you. A little bit of I will give all of you.
Okay.
That isn't per se going to hurt your voice. I think it's a little tiring. Probably it's tiring if you don't have enough breath support. I talked to vocal experts about that because your generation does it a lot. They just sort of talk like that, and it's a way of expression. Okay? And I said to this is a good colleague of mine, I said, isn't that going to hurt their voices? And she goes, not really. It's not really hurting their voices. But it can tire out the vocal folds a little bit. So you just want to be aware when you're doing it.
Okay.
So, see if you can not do it once. Speak that sentence again.
There is a word of warning I will give all of you.
That's closer. Now, one way we can get away from it is to go back to what I said about the Italians. They would say, warning I. Warning us. Warning I will give all of you. So they wouldn't say, warning I will give all of you. Now, it's bad English. Nobody would understand you if you say, warning I will give all of you. But for our purposes, I want you to try it.
Okay. There is a word of warning I will give all of you.
Good. Do it again. Go slower, chew more.
There is a word of warning I will give all of you.
Take a breath and go on. It was fabulous.
Always remember a wounded bear is angry with everyone and will maul you or anyone within range.
Good. Try that one again. Get yourself a nice breath and say that sentence.
Always remember a wounded bear is angry with everyone and will maul you or anyone within range.
Good. So you're doing pretty well. You're kind of splitting the difference. But just for our for purposes of exercise, try maul you or anyone within range. Maul you or... Okay.
Always remember a wounded bear is angry with everyone and will maul you or anyone within range.
Great. Now, one more thing I want you to do. You're going to read the sentence and halfway through, take a breath. Before the or, I guess.
Okay. Always remember a wounded bear is angry with everyone and will maul you or anyone within range.
Oh, good. Read after everyone, I think. Be angry with everyone.
Okay, got it. Always remember a wounded bear is angry with everyone and will maul you or anyone within range.
Great. Now, if you're trying again, try not to go into the little vocal grind.
Yeah.
And so, to do this right, you kind of do have to have good support, which you do.
Always remember a wounded bear is angry with everyone and will maul you or anyone within range.
Good. But notice how angry with everyone.
Yeah.
So, this is one thing I'm going to tell you about, a little tiny, very quick story about this. I had a freshman student at Marymount, Manhattan, who came in here and said, oh, I'm getting hoarse all the time, Deborah. And I did this exercise with her. I gave her this to take home. And she came back a week later, and I told her, totally no grind. Now, don't let it ever go down there, right? She came back a week later. She said, you solved my life. I'm never getting hoarse anymore. I don't get vocally tired at the end of the day, and I'm just not doing my grind. And it was shocking. She was sort of a natural singer, like, you know, somebody very, you know, very musical and all that. So it didn't bother her not to do those grinds. That didn't bother her at all. She didn't feel like she was losing her personality. Now, some people will feel like, no, that's how I want to express myself. And so you would choose for yourself. However,
I think I can do without it.
Well, and you might do an experiment like she did. And you do this exercise every day. I'm going to have you do it a little bit more right now, and then we'll leave it and go on to other things. But, and I want you to breathe halfway through every sentence so that you can get that fresh start on the vocal folds, right?
Right.
And don't let yourself ever do the grind, because it might be similar with you. It might be that so many grinds per day would make your voice a little tired. Or the combination of those plus a little bit of tension back in there, just a little bit, which you could let go and still be loud. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I wonder, is it also about having like a strong lower range? Because I know like that's a problem for me, and I'm guessing that when it gets lower down in my like pitch or when I'm speaking,
yeah, so,
like if I can't support it, I just go to the grind part.
I think so. I think, yeah, you're not supporting is probably really important.
Yeah.
Also, voice experts always say watch it when you're on the telephone. I don't know if you do. Are you on the phone much?
Not really.
Okay. Because people who are on the phone much, if they're low like that, they don't support. But, yeah, so pay attention to that, too. Do you ever, I know you did say you get some hoarseness comes on, and I don't know whether it's after you sing or whether it's after you just live.
Usually what will happen with me is that it'll happen during a show or something where I'm singing a lot. I don't get, like, hoarse at the end of the day and then, like, need the night to recover. I feel, when I do get hoarse, like, it happens pretty abruptly, like, for a while. So I imagine it's, like, singing plus talking, but just talking doesn't really do it to me.
Oh, good. Okay. So it might be that, that the things I'm giving you, you may just, okay, I'll integrate them, but I don't have to, like, make it my religion, kind of.
Yeah.
And the singing, like, you maybe sing hard at the end of a long day and then get a little hoarse, like, all
yeah.
the time. Okay. And when you say hoarse, do you mean, does it affect your speaking voice or your singing voice or both?
I mean, it can get really bad and affect my speaking voice. Usually it's just my singing voice, though.
In other words, the singing voice kind of loses its sheen a little bit, and you
yeah.
have to... Okay. And it's probably related to music like Rent and hard-hitting music.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think so.
And so, for that reason, I'm glad you're going to get yourself a teacher over there, because if it's good voice teachers can really help you develop your skill and your craft so that you can do that without hurting this. You have to make certain compromises in order not to hurt this in terms of how hard-hitting you want to go. But you're strong, your voice is strong. I think the compromises probably aren't going to bother you much. They're going to be minimal. But you need some more training on that. And you know that. That's why you're more committed to me. So, But also, though, some of the, just the physical awareness that, like, this angry bear will give you is going to help you, because when you're in that situation of rehearsing or singing a show, it can help you reset yourself or notice, oh, okay, I just did that. I just really grabbed, and I could release that grab. Let's just do a tiny bit more on this. I'm going to keep an eye on the clock so we get everything done today.
Okay.
Go again. So you're going to chew, vary your pitch, breathe, and no grunts.
Okay. There's a word of warning I will give all of you. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, okay.
There is a word of warning I will give all of you. Always remember, a wounded bear is angry with everyone and will maul you or anyone within range.
Good. Take a break. Let everything go. Breathe. And you can start a little lower if you like.
A bleeding wounded bear is a mean animal and will go wild whenever jabbed or bothered in any way.
Good. Think you can go on and chew a little more.
Even a lion will give ground and avoid a wounded or injured grizzly bear.
Oh, that's great. Take a breath and go. I want you to just slow yourself down. You're doing great.
One dumb move and the bear will lunge and grab you, leaving you dead or gravely wounded. In the name of God, beware the injured, angry bear.
Uh-huh. Try in the name of God again. That was good.
What? In the name of God, beware the injured or angry bear.
Mm-hmm. Good. Say, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And as you say it, release inside, release your jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's lovely. The mm-hmm is also a good exercise just to check in with you, because both the humming down here and also it helps you with your resonance. You maintain your resonance, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not pushing this.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen. What I recommend you do is at least go through your tape once. Just write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These little, just put them on one little sheet of paper and do these exercises, just kind of regular, just integrate them in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just do one more thing? Mm-hmm. Try the second paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Just read normally.
I am going to ask that each of you take this warning. Please don't ever forget that an injured bear is mean and will claw you or others nearby.
Great. Start again. That's good. And chewing now.
I am going to ask that each of you take this warning.
Good. As you chew, get your mouth to just do it for you so it doesn't have to work, right?
I am going to ask that each of you take this warning. Please don't ever forget that an injured bear is mean and will claw you or others nearby.
Okay, very good. Now, when you take your breath, too. You want to kind of train it more. Almost like somebody's in there, they open the pipe up, and then the air falls down in.
Okay.
Try one of those breaths and start that paragraph again.
I am going to ask that each of you take this warning. Please don't ever forget that an injured bear is mean and will claw you or others nearby.
Great. This is a good stopping point. How did that feel?
Good. I didn't feel the air coming in as much, but then I felt more support.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because when you do a higher one, it's like one has more control. I got air in, you know? But when you do that lower one, yeah, it tends to line you up really well. The sound of your voice really improves when you work on these, when you loosen all those parts. So you get prettier sound and freer sound. I want you to also remember finding your best speaking voice. It doesn't have to be high. A lot of times voice therapists will try to get people to raise their pitch. And I think they think it kind of helps and takes some of the pressure off. But I don't like that so much. I think your voice is nice and low, it's mellifluous, it's round, it's pretty, it's dark, it has good color to it. Just enjoy all that, and you can say to yourself, okay, I can have free, fabulous tone without having to go there. Now, it might seem like that's the opposite of what I said earlier, but what I said earlier was I want you to be able to go there so that you can, so that that physical coordination is available to you.
Right.
That physical coordination can still be available down here, too. It's a way of not making it too tight, just a little free.
You mean getting your, like, your heady voice, even
in a low
pitch.
Okay. Yeah. Head voice, we assume, it means high. But at least in my studio, we can find the head that's in the chest. What it really means is that, look, you've got your vocal folds. They're like a wedge of skin that's got, it's muscle and ligament and skin, right? And they're flapping together. It's the same vocal folds whether your pitch is low or your pitch is high. They change their setup. They change the amount of tension to go high.
Mm-hmm.
And to find the head that's in the chest, we have to, first of all, the tension is low in the chest. They're not really operating under as high a tension as here, right?
Right.
The tension is low, but if you put volume through it, it will be the full muscle. And I'm putting volume on it now. If I don't put a lot of volume, but I say no, I can get just a heady. This is much less, it's like less mass of vocal folds hitting each other. That's what we're going to segue into some singing head exercises so that you can experience what I just said. I'm sort of going on about this because I know you'll have a chance to listen to it on the tape and maybe kind of put it all together.
Yeah.
Stop me, though, if I say anything that really takes you off into left field.
So when I'm thinking about getting my head voice, like getting more of a heady feel into my voice, like what should I do? I know a lot of this is like more about thinking about what you're doing, but...
What do you specifically do?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do an exercise that's going to totally address that, which we've done before, I believe, but I'm going to just kind of try and articulate it so you understand why.
Do you want the sheath of...
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'm just going to turn this off for a few minutes so we can really hear your question. Okay. Yeah. So, we're going to get to that in a second. Let me just get you a little bit warmed up. This would be This is all good. Now you can add a little bit of a crescendo. So you're here. Try and just see what happens. Yes. Try it again. You can just let yourself... interesting point. How do you crescendo? And in the belt world, you're going to add a little bit of tension. In this world, I want you to think... I think it's like a drum head, and you're stretching it farther than it's been stretched, down inside. Try that. Bravo. One more, though. Same thing. And let's try one up here. That's not a little loud. No, it's fine. Now, right here on one single tone. Good. One's up here on like page 4. Good, couple more. stay flat. We're doing chest, we're not doing belt. And if you try to get it, all you have to do to get it stronger, just crescendo as far as it'll go. And then the knees will get stronger and stronger in this chest kind of a thing, right? Try that again. Just go as far as it'll go. Good. So if you hear me, sorry, I'm going to struggle and try and get that louder. Now, it's not a gorgeous tone. I'm a high soprano. It's chest voice. You heard me kind of, though, it took on a little more power. What I was trying to avoid was a belt mix. Where I go toward that's for just a different time. This one's just trying to stay in there without your vibrato going away and see if you can add a little power. You're going to feel the muscles inside. Yeah, you have to kind of stretch down a little bit. But it's different than them doing this to get loud. It's kind of doing that to get loud. Right? Give it a shot, one more of these. See how far you can take that. Push the envelope. Let's just see what happens. If you go, bring it. I just want to see if it cracks, if it breaks into something else. Think that you're almost yawning it open a little more as you go. Something kind of comes out from the depths. Good. Just try again. Go as loud as you can go. Okay. And stop and rest. I was just curious as to what would happen. What did happen?
Went into belt mode.
Okay, yeah. Just kind of went into a little bit of a grab. That's excellent. So let's move on with the warm-ups. We're going to get to the head voice question in a second, but I needed to get your chest voice established. Here's a quick question. No, I'll do that in a second. We're going to do... as an A. Good, let's try E-I-E-I-E. I changed pitch. E-I-E-I-E. Good. Same idea. Pretend there's a big drum down at the bottom, and it's stretched out for you. And then the E kind of almost sneaks through it. E-I-E-I-E. Instead of E. E-I-E-I-E. This is very legit. E-I-E-I-E. You're noticing as we go higher.
So it's getting louder.
You're not noticing that it's getting a little bit husky?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a little bit hoarse going up to those top notes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So if you probably haven't completely recovered from your show, I imagine. Mm-hmm. When was your last show?
Oh, it was a while ago, but then I continued working.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a very hard job for you as a singer. Okay.
Yeah.
Because your vocal folds might be just a little swollen. I'm not sure. Let me have you just like, let's do the happy birthday for a minute.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. So, do you have a sense that you have to kind of override something just a little bit in order to get the top notes out?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be a little bit of a swollen. The vocal folds are probably a little swollen. And you want them to relax down. So, when was your last day of your job was Friday, right? So you
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday.
Yeah.
So, okay. Today's only Tuesday. Before you took this job, see, I don't know if I've heard you before you took this job. Your first time was, I think, July 9th, maybe. Or
no, I think I was working already there then.
Yeah. Normally, do you have that feeling of having to override when you go up to the top? Is that pretty usual for you?
I mean, eventually. Like high A's, high E's, stuff like that.
Uh-huh. But not so much down in here.
No, I can usually hit that with E's.
But, huh? Like that kind of thing, like little girl ones? Yeah, see, I can hear there's a fuzz to it.
Yeah,
it's just not quite available to you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just trying to observe what's going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
Since I don't know you over time and I haven't had a chance to really assess this when you weren't either doing your job or in the show, what we don't know is, are they traditionally a little bit swollen or is it related to your voice use? Could it be related to, like, some people have reflux, or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you want to just take, just notice for yourself. When you've had some real vocal rest, which doesn't have to mean silence, it just means you're not using your voice heavy, right?
Yeah.
Then just check in and just notice on a really good, easy day, oh, my voice feels easy today. See how high you can take happy birthday.
Okay.
You know? If you can go up to A and that easy, then you have kind of a baseline to compare stuff with.
Yeah.
The thing of when you're going to your high notes and you have to override something is always a danger. That's always a danger that you are either you have bad vocal habits you have to fix, you're swollen, maybe allergies, who knows, or maybe you just talked too much yesterday, I don't know, but something's going on there, or sometimes when that happens, people have like a note or some little bump in their vocal folds. It doesn't sound to me like you have that. It sounds to me like your voice is tired, though.
Yeah.
So it's harder for us to access a certain head voice thingy, and I'm not going to take you up really high, but we're going to do that answer to that head voice question. Let me have you do this one, which we did last time. That's nice. Good. Say hello.
Hello.
Good. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Deborah.
Nice. Now you're down there. Nice. Now, can you just lower the volume a little, but keep it open like that? Good. The slide up is the most important part. Try that. Yes. Bravo. Now that is not 100% head voice. However, it's a really good exercise for you. It kind of takes the pressure off, but it keeps you going through all these pitches. So an excellent thing for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll follow up. Good. Good. foot. Try releasing here. Yes. One more. Great. Now, I want you to try something. We're going to do what's called a mesa di voce. It's a swell and diminish. So it's like this. We're on this note, and you're just going to do this. Like that. You're going to go... You can kind of understand what the journey is like.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, come on, you still sit. You're going to drop open that big barrel at the bottom, has this huge drum head on it, which is like this. And it starts like underneath that. Open, drop, drop your jaw. Go. Good. Very slowly. It's a very, very advanced exercise that I give to beginner students because it helps you feel something. I don't know if you and I ever did that one. I don't think so. I want you to try here. Try. And then see what happens. But be sure and open, drop, and breathe. I didn't tell you the rules, and then I was just yelling them at you over your nose.
Okay.
The rule is, you want to stay on your vowel. Don't let it turn to UH, like, right? Keep your mouth open. Whether you crescendo or decrescendo, you can't do this. All right? I mean, that creates a decrescendo.
Great.
But that's not this exercise. This exercise was teaching your vocal folds a kind of a trick, which is, how do they add all the weight in and then take all the weight out while maintaining the same pitch?
Right.
Okay. So we'll do a couple more. This is in answer to helping you figure out that question. So you're with me so far on this?
Yeah. This is called, I should tell you the name of this. This is called a mesa di voce.
Let's put it on your little sticky. And it's like place or put. To place or put the voice. Right? It's like old Italian. Famous old exercise that people try to be able to do on any note in their entire voice. You know, that kind of a thing. It takes an immense amount of coordination inside, but you can't feel it.
Right.
Really. So your vocal folds, what they're doing is, it's like just the edges of the vocal folds are sort of vibrating, and then more and more of the vocal fold is vibrating, and then the whole muscle of the vocal fold is vibrating, and then very slowly you're taking that pressure off and you're going back to where you started. What this means is that there's two major muscle sets that are... One is responsible for more the chest and one for the head. And they have to learn how to integrate and fully be together and then how to, like, let the chest get a little bit less as the head kind of takes over. And the head takes over more like this. Chest takes over more like this. So, does that make sense sort of if I describe it that way?
So you're saying... The head comes in as it's getting louder, or as your vocal cords are,
as you're getting softer, more head takes over. It's like the head muscle takes over as you get softer.
Okay.
And but you started out very heady to begin with. Whether we're here or here. So if I have you here, we'll go like, try this. Hello, come in.
Hi.
Hi, Josephine. Have a seat, okay? Can you just shut this door for a sec just so we can finish up? I'm trying to give you a bunch of this information so you can kind of digest this and put it together.
Yeah.
And I know it's any note you sing is going to have a mixture of head and chest. I know we talked about that when I first met you. Right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a balance. It might be 2% to 98%. Or what? Okay? If I go here and I go... that's like 2% chest. You try that. And the little rules are... first, stretch open like you're yawning. To create that open space in there, right? So that's what I mean by that sort of feeling like a drummed-in stretch or something. Something stretchy down in there. Then you're going to go... uh-huh. That's head in the chest. We are in on a low B-flat. Nobody could say that. That's sort of the chest area. But that's a heady sound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because you're not really using the full muscle of your vocal folds.
Right. So you're saying it's about volume then?
Sorry?
You're saying it's about volume then? Getting the head and chest in together.
Yes. Volume, volume, volume. Get quiet if you are down low in your speaking voice and below. In this, what we call the chest area of pitches.
Yeah.
It's chest pitches, kind of. Chest. If you're down in there and you want more head, try for less volume.
Okay.
So, try here. Now, you're going to start on that ooh, and you're going to try a mezzo di voce.
Okay.
See what happens. Get as loud as you can go. Get as loud as you can. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now go back. Keep it, keep it. Uh-huh.
That's
it. That's okay. It's tricky. Now try, just start loud and go down to the back. To maintain much longer that time, which is natural. It's fine to do the exercise, take a breath in the middle. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So as you were getting louder, your chest muscles were coming in more and more. What you ended up at the loudest was more of a belt mix, but there's no, that's not a sense. It's right here on the chest you vowel, but in a heady way. Let me hear you just start that. Drop open a lot, huh?
What's the note again? Sorry.
Get louder and louder and louder. Okay, take a breath. Start loud and go quiet. So, the mezzo di voce gives you some information a little bit about this. One more thing. When you start, I want you to think of this. Think that you're almost drawing your air in. I know we talked about that a little bit, too. So, you're going to start like this. Not Good. Now, crescendo. That's good. That was such a good start. I thought, oh, yeah, she should try. So start with your off. Good. Now crescendo.
Uh-huh.
Good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, interrupt for a second. That's excellent. I liked how you started that. It had a certain kind of a... it was like the right kind of tension. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You can train it to go further. Your voice just doesn't quite know that yet. And I can't show it to you in a day, but you've got a good start. Back to, I just want to tie this together and give you this. We talked about how do you get, the question was, how do you get your head voice more integrated into your whole voice? and ovals coming down through this territory will help you. What will also help you is try and figure out why you're getting hoarse when you go up here, because ultimately you and everybody needs to vocalize all the way up to B flat, B, C, every time you vocalize. I don't want to really take you up there today because I don't want to make you have to override. But that's something to you'll find out. Why am I getting hoarse and how do I get rid of it? Try this. Is that going to come out at all? That's good. Easier there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be sure. That's fine. I just want to kind of test that and see what was going on. Now, the ooh thingy. Good. Think of ooh as you breathe in. That's a mix. Stay with that. One more. Very beautiful. Good. For your information, to me, that's, I call that a mix. It's a nice sound. Now, we're working between C and C. I'm going to do this kind of quickly, so you have it on your tape, and you just think about it.
Okay.
To strengthen the head in this neighborhood, you have to go very, very quietly on your uvel. You cannot do a mix. So, for this exercise, we'll try and go as pure as we can. I have to stay big inside and not let it get loud. Crescendoing, I'm working like hell inside, not to collapse it. Yeah? Careful, you're starting like this. That's okay, I'm just giving you three now. Three line lies, right? Quiet. When you get to the quiet place you need to be, it will not be for public consumption. It won't be for your song, necessarily. I'm just trying to lighten my litter. It will be so quiet, you'll think, well, why is she having me go that quiet? If I have any volume, it's going to pick up the chest. Pretty good. It'll feel disembodied almost. Just kind of here. And I want you to stretch open a bit way inside here. Yes. Good. That was a really good one. Really stretch.
Stretched out.
Yes. Bravo. You got that. So, that little exercise, ooh vowels, anywhere you want, between C and C, you can always take them lower. Is that going to work for you? Yeah, that's fine. You can always go lower. Don't worry about higher yet, because you got some issues going on there. But that exercise is going to help your muscles learn a slightly new thing that they're not used to at all. And that, in turn, is going to help you with a number of the things that we've talked about today. That is almost the complete polar opposite of belting. Like, you couldn't get too much farther apart.
Right.
It's the same little mechanism. It's the same larynx, the same muscles. And if you did that every day, I can do that. And I can go in and out of my fuller singing and back to that. that's like one of the keys. All right. I know we don't have time to answer any more questions, but I tried to sort of tie it together because I figured I probably won't see you.
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got an awful lot going on. Well, good work.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure
to work with you, my dear.
Thank you. If I come back, well, I will come back next summer.
Well, I'm around, God willing. I wish you luck, and I know you're going to have a fascinating time.
Yeah.
What a great life experience for you.
I'll come back and regale you. Oh, my.
Keep me posted. Yeah, send me an email now and again. Let me know how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know if you...